Coming up on podcast 1176, Polestar have updated the Polestar 2 and it's now even cheaper. Get it as low as 35 grand, but should you? Stick around, we'll find out more. Also on the podcast today, we'll talk more about chip shortages, electric trucks and updated BMW iX3s. Well, good morning, good afternoon or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Thursday, 12th of August. My name is Martin Lee and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. We'll start with news from the Twitter account that likes to follow Elon Musk's personal and private jet. And he just touched down in Germany, in Berlin, where Tesla is hosting one of the front runners to succeed Angela Merkel as the German Chancellor. The Tesla chief exec landed in Germany yesterday afternoon, according to the Twitter tracker. Jörg Steinbeck is the economy minister for the state of Brandenburg. That's where Tesla's building Giga Berlin. He tweeted that he had a very relaxed evening meeting with Elon. According to Bloomberg.com today, while the country scored a major victory when Elon announced plans to build a factory near Berlin, the project has fallen months behind schedule, with Tesla bemoaning an irritating process of obtaining regulatory approvals. And I do have to say, I mean, look, Tesla's got plenty of experience of running businesses in Germany, because when they bought Grohmann and rebranded it, they know what they're doing. They know about German, you know, labor laws and all that kind of stuff. But I must say, if there was any, even, you know, not within Tesla, but the fan community, any feeling that you could simply steamroller into a country like they did with China, build a factory very quickly, and just because he's the richest man in the world, depending on which way the wind is blowing that day, that they would somehow get past what is pretty famous German process, that's not going to happen. So, look, it will happen, but it'll happen when the Germans are happy to make it happen. Next, we'll talk about why this is happening. Well, Armin Laschet, I think I would say his name, he is Germany's conservative candidate to succeed Angela Merkel as the Chancellor. He also met with Elon Musk, and I think it was either late today or maybe it's happening tomorrow. Either way, it's going to be at the Gigafactory site, and he said, "I'm glad that Elon Musk has sent me an SMS, and we have agreed to meet. The environmental agency in Brandenburg has yet to give final approval, meaning a further delay cannot be ruled out even until 2022. Next, we'll talk about chip shortages and Ford in the news today. If you've ordered a Mustang Mach-E, well, I'm afraid it might be a little bit late. Ford's F-150 was hit by the global semiconductor shortage, and now the flagship EV, the only EV, the Mach-E, is seeing some serious delays by a minimum of 6 weeks for those who are order holders, who are scheduled to get their vehicles sometime between early July and early October. That's according to emails that Ford have been sending to buyers, according to TheVerge.com. Got Ford's statement here. It says this, and I quote, "The global semiconductor shortage continues to affect global automakers and other industries in all parts of the world. We're working closely with all of our key suppliers to address production constraints tied to this global semiconductor shortage so we can continue to build Mach-E vehicles and get them to our customers as quickly as we can." End quote. Well, according to The Verge, the global chip shortage is getting worse before it gets better. The semiconductor giant TSMC warning recently it'll continue well into next year. All sorts of gadgets are affected. Graphics cards, games consoles, and car makers have been hit particularly hard. And I had a good old chinwag with Phil Roberts from Electric Future. You hear his name every day. That is a sponsor of this podcast. And I caught up with him earlier this week, and we were just, you know, shooting the breeze about a few different things. And he was saying that the semiconductor shortage has impacted the solar and PV world because things go into controllers and inverters. And you wouldn't think, and actually, if you have a chip that's going to go into, I don't know, like a solar product or something, and it happens to be the same one that the automotive industry use, well, actually, if you're VW and you want to order a million of those, well, you might get preferential treatment. And so, look, even in his realm, his sphere. He said that even he's kind of seen it and, you know, been ordering in advance and lead times getting a little bit longer and having to kind of maneuver his business around that. So look, this has really stretched into many parts of the economy. And if you're waiting for your Mach-E, hopefully not too much longer. Next, an electric truck company that I hadn't heard of, XOS is their name. Do I say it? Zoz? That's in sauce. I think XOS. Anyway, they make medium to heavy duty electric trucks. And they said earlier this week they've sold 120 medium duty trucks to FedEx Ground, the independent service providers in five states. The trucks are expected to be delivered in the fourth quarter of next year. And ISPs, not internet service providers, independent service providers, they're based in Texas. Where else? California, New York, New Jersey, and Massachusetts. The ISPs manage the drivers who provide pickup and delivery services on behalf of FedEx. I'll pop a link in the show notes to that if you want to read more about some heavy duty trucking going all electric. In Italy, they're loving their EVs. Italy is, you know, Europe's fourth largest market in terms of vehicles, and now on the verge of reaching double-digit market share for electric cars, following real strong, consistent month-on-month growth and quarter-on-quarter growth as well, with the effects of the pandemic slowly fading away, says Inside EVs, and government incentives bridging the price gap between technologies. Electric mobility is booming in the once dormant Italian EV market. Yes, it wouldn't be rude of me to say that places like Italy and Spain only a few years ago really were laggards. Full electric cars have sold over 30,000 in the first half of 2021. That's pretty much the full year figure for last year. Over three times the sales of the first half of last year. But, you know, COVID lockdown and all that. Fiat 500e, if you want to know what is the number one car that Italians buy with a plug socket on. And it looks like it won't be caught, by the way. It has such a big old lead in Italy. Difficult to think of any others dethroning it. The Fiat 500e is a great little car. Although it looks the same as the combustion version, it's entirely redesigned from the ground up as a pure electric car. But you can't tell, because style-wise, it looks exactly the same as the Fossil Gobbler. A distant second is the Smart 4.2, and another Italian favourite is the Renault Twingo in third place. Wow, that's a pretty specialist vehicle. We'll call that small. Okay, we'll call it small. All right, on the podcast very soon, keep listening. We will have a look at a road which is eating Teslas for breakfast. And the headline story, new Polestar 2 coming up. Stick around. Now we will talk about Model 3s with salvaged titles regaining access to superchargers. Tesla's decision to block access to superchargers for vehicles that had a salvage title was met with a lot of criticism. And I understand why, because, well, look, no, actually, I see it from both sides. And let me explain. If I were Tesla and I'd built my own private network on my own dime, and all of a sudden a car's been written off for, you know, you don't know if it's a good or a bad reason. Like, sometimes insurance companies can't fix it economically, so the car gets written off. It's a salvage car. And it's like, look, there's nothing wrong with that car. That could have been fixed, but, you know, the algorithm said it's a write-off, it's a salvage title. Whereas other times, maybe the car shouldn't be on the road and someone's stuck it together with sticky tape. And so you don't want that blowing up a supercharger, because Tesla would say, well, look, that wasn't very fair, but they got a lot of stick for banning that. And, you know, the problem I had with that, and they also stopped those cars charging on any DC fast chargers. Well, in that case, it's overstepping the mark, if you ask me. It's like you turning up to fill up with petrol and there's a security guard at the entrance going, no, mate, you can't fill up with petrol here because you're banned. And you'd be like, what? They're like, yeah, VW said you can't fill up here. You know, it wouldn't compute. Anyway, but the supercharger network, I think, is absolutely fair, because, look, it's Tesla's network. Either way, they've decided to reverse course. Some cars with salvage titles and fine batteries. No problem at all with the battery. They have now been allowed to charge. Updated recently, spotted by the Tesla-friendly hacker, Green the Only, on Twitter. And it was confirmed by a couple of Model 3 owners on Reddit. According to Teslarati, coming with this report, another owner who salvaged title Model 3 lost supercharger access last year after the ban, confirmed on his Reddit page that the vehicle could now charge on the rapid charging networks. Once again, comes in the same week as Tesla's kind of environmental report. I forget the exact name of it. And it does make sense. Actually, if a vehicle can be on the road, then it should be on the road. And if it shouldn't, it shouldn't, for safety, etc. But if there's nothing wrong with that vehicle, then it doesn't do any good for the environment to scrap it, even recycle it. Look, just put it back on the road. Right, moving on. Let's have a look at a road in the US, which is eating Teslas for breakfast, spitting them out the other side. One driver on Reddit, who goes by the username of BBFLG, posted about his experience on Reddit. He said his Tesla Model X had crashed into a boulder when it approached a fork in the road. At the point where the one lane veered into two lanes. So it's just a lane that splits. And, you know, a human driver can decide what to do with that. No problem. It doesn't work with autopilot. He was on autopilot and it decided just to go straight to the nearest rock. Picture of his car, his Model X, online. Yeah, the front corner of that is ripped off. The driver said on social media he did get two hands on the steering wheel to take back control, but alas, it was too late. According to Business Insider, he also said on Reddit that he was told by park rangers that he was the fourth Tesla to crash on that site recently. It sounds like there's a particular something with the way that the road splits, either go left or right, which the autopilot system just does not compute. This particular junction is eating up Teslas when they approach on autopilot. It's not funny. Obviously, it's not funny. BBFLG, the user, said he was sent pictures of a fifth Tesla that recently crashed at exactly the same spot just after his accident on July 25th. So if you are in this area, I'll pop a link in the show notes if you want to see exactly where it is in this particular area, then maybe just take control at that junction. But yeah, sure, level 5 autonomy. Going to be by the end of the year, guarantees Elon Musk. Yeah, of course it is. Let's talk about Polestar 2 next, headline story today. And the biggest news of the 2022 model year Polestar 2 is the introduction of a new trim with a single motor. Now, the motor powers the front axle, according to thedrive.com. Checked it on two sources, Inside EVs and The Drive, and yep, it does appear to be a front-wheel drive Polestar. Okay, they already had an all-wheel drive version of that car with a rear motor. But they decided to take away the rear one and give you a front-wheel drive car. That'll be popular with some and not with others. Same battery, 78 kilowatt hours, and the original dual motor version can actually go further now as well. So, the single motor Polestar 2, you can get it with the Pilot package, so adaptive cruise, 360 camera. There's the Plus package with the glass roof and the big screen, the heat pump as well. That's new. Actually, the heat pump is new on the Polestar 2. And what changed for the range? Well, if you go with the all-wheel drive version, it is up 16 miles from the current version. It now does 249 miles EPA. The price, which comes in at $51,200 delivered, is about $6,000 less than the Model 3 Performance. But the single motor orders will be fulfilled by the end of the year. And that's where it gets interesting, because by the time you apply the federal tax credit, of course, you need to, you know, personally benefit from that with, you know, your taxes. And also, it's not a subsidy, as in, you know, it's not money off the car because you've got to wait till next year. But either way, you get that. And if you purchase it in some of the ZEV states, which have extra incentives as well, you can pick up a Polestar 2, and it'll be the single motor, for $34,900. And that is a bit of a bargain. Next, we'll talk about the BMW i3 being updated and revealed with a new look, but no additional range in this case. Yesterday, BMW unveiled an updated version of the iX3 featuring the same tweaks as the X3, the fossil-gobbling version for the 2022 model year. And at present, there are no plans to bring it to the US, just like the existing model. Instead, BMW offering the iX and the i4 hatchback to North America. So, according to Motor Authority, the updated iX3 has a revised look, with the key change being the new lights at both ends. BMW has also made the M Sport styling package standard, which adds 19-inch wheels, you can option some 20s, and unique fascias. The package also has interior trim and a sport steering wheel. The interior has been spruced up with this new update. Design of the centre stack now matches the design in the latest BMWs, like the new 4 Series. It's got the bigger 12.3-inch instrument cluster and then a big screen for the entertainment system. And the setup still has the 80 kilowatt-hour battery and a single electric motor on the rear axle. Next, we'll go to China for the Audi Q5 e-tron. And because of the way that Chinese homologation works, we've seen this before. It's been quite nice, actually, because you get a little tip-off, but you have to submit, if you're a car maker, photos of your new model, and that gets posted online by the Chinese authorities. Now, if you remember the Audi Concept Shanghai from earlier this year, this is the production version, the Q5 e-tron, making its debut in China. Because of this post by the... Oh, it's not a post. It just goes on their website. Somebody finds it. The Ministry of Industry and Information Technology. According to Motor1.com, despite carrying the Q5 badge, the Q5 e-tron has little in common with the mid-size luxury crossover that you might think the Q5 is. And actually, it's Audi's version of the VW ID6. In other words, a three-row EV. Two versions, 35 and 50. So the 35 e-tron and the 50 e-tron Quattro relate to the single and dual motor ID6s. The new electric SUV available with rear-wheel drive and an electric motor producing about 177 horsepower, 132 kilowatts. Single motor model also comes in a higher state of tune, and you can get it, if you want, at 150 kilowatts of power, shaving off 0.2 on the 0-60 sprint. If you're wondering how much the Quattro-equipped model weighs, this was online as well, because they had to submit that data. 2,400 kilograms. That's 5,300 pounds. Yes, it's as porky as a Bentley Bentayga. And much like the ID6, we are expecting the Q5 e-tron to be China only, because we're not going to get that car outside of China. But instead, the car that you want, if you want that size of car, is something based on the PPE platform from VW, like the Macan, Porsche Macan, and the Q6 e-tron, which will be Europe and US. I think US. Yeah, should be. Next, we'll talk about buses and Proterra doing a deal with LG. Proterra, very famous for making commercial vehicles, have now agreed a new contract with LG to extend their partnership for the long-term supply of cylindrical cells. What do you reckon? 2170s? Probably. And an LG Energy Solutions battery cell manufacturing plant in the US will supply them, according to Proterra. The US manufactured battery cells get delivered to Proterra factories for the manufacture of their commercial electric vehicle battery systems. I'll pop a link to that press release in the show notes if you'd like to read more. Finally, the UK consumer education magazine, Which? Has been talking about electric cars. Now, I've not read Which? In forever, if I ever did. The electric car seems to fascinate them because obviously they're providing... I always think of it as like, you know, what's the best fridge freezer to buy, or, you know, the top tumble dryer. It's that kind of consumer magazine, right? They test everything and then write their opinions. And they've been testing EVs. And they say, what about if you're stuck in a traffic jam? So their job is to kind of ask the questions that the layman would answer, right? So they say that, say your electric car battery is already half full, down to 50 or 60%. It's getting late. It's dark. And you're stuck in a traffic jam. Stand still. You're going nowhere. And naturally, you start to think, will my battery run out. Now, you and I know that's utter nonsense, right? But remember the readership of this magazine, okay? So if somebody picks up which question mark, they're probably new to EVs. Anyway, they said, we put it to the test. And so they grabbed themselves a VW ID4 and went to sit in some traffic for 1 hour, 15 minutes. And what happened? Well, with all the systems turned on, aircon and heating, etc., they had the music playing. I think they said they used Apple CarPlay or something. Either way, car was as it was, didn't eco-save or anything. They lost 2% of the battery in 1 hour and 15 of being at a standstill, the equivalent of about 8 miles of range in the VW ID4. And you and I know, you know, some people have camped in their EVs and you wake up and it's gone down 10%, but that's fine because you've had the aircon on, you know, all night or whatever. It's just not a problem. It's as much of a problem as sitting in a traffic jam with petrol or diesel. Like, if you don't have enough, you're going to run out. If you have enough, you're going to be fine. Right, question of the week with eMobilityNorway.com. On a scale of 1 to 10, where does the environment rank for the reason that you're into EVs? I'd love to know. Email me your thoughts. I'll read them out Sunday. My address is hello at evnewsdaily.com. It means a huge amount to anyone that can leave a little review on Apple Podcasts and say a few words, or just a star rating. And it means a huge amount to everyone on Patreon that supports. Now, make sure you check out your Patreon dashboard for your ad-free feed if you're not using it already. If you don't mind listening to the ads, then, hey, knock yourself out. But if you are paying on Patreon, you do get an ad-free feed as a nice little bonus. Thank you to our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley supporting me, and he has his EV Review Island YouTube channel. Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. I'll see you tomorrow. And remember, there ain't no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.